Calvin? Okay. Good morning, Saturday, September 3rd. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live from the Waukesha Farmers Market. And I have a very special guest, Waukesha. Say good morning to Joe Albanese. Joe, say hi.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Joe is here to help us celebrate 40 years of Albanese's Roadhouse over on Blue Mound Road, a Waukesha institution. Joe, congratulations on the 40th anniversary. How does it feel? Yeah.
I wonder where the time goes.
Sure. That's it. Yeah. Talking to Mike. Perfect. Yep. Good. Yeah. So Joe and I are going to talk a lot about Waukesha today. Joe grew up here, right in the neighborhood here, on my neighborhood in Banting Park. Was a member of the Waukesha Blazers, a graduate of Waukesha South, class of 82. And I think we're going to get a lot of interruptions because there's he's been here 20 minutes and already we've had half a dozen people stop by and say hello. Very influential people like firemen and community leaders. So it's going to be a fun Saturday morning. Before we start with Joe, we've got a few scores to tell you about from last night. Our beloved Black Shirts of Waukesha South in their Classic 8 opener against Oconomowoc lost a tough one, 41-7. It was a close game for the first three quarters. South was trailing at half, 21-7, but just couldn't put it together on offense in the second half. So it was a tough break. The boys played hard, very resilient. But that Oconomowoc's got a heck of a running game and it's just a really balanced attack on both sides of the ball. Waukesha North lost to Maguanago 41-21. And Maguanago is a lot of people's picks to go all the way this year. They're a solid club. And Waukesha West lost to Muskego 34-15. So the bright spot for Waukesha football is at Catholic Memorial. Beat Milwaukee Lutheran, same team South beat in their home opener. Memorial won 49-6. So there is a bright spot there in Waukesha sports. So, and also too, this Labor Day weekend, we're heading into September, and September also means, if I can find it here, beer garden season. So Merrill Crest has their beer garden, and that's September 8th and September 9th. And I know September 23rd and 24th, Raise Grain is celebrating their 7th anniversary. So put all those on your calendar. And in the month of September, stop by Albanese's as they celebrate 40 years. Joe, you doing anything special to mark the anniversary?
In the past, every 5 years, we've always had a big carnival outside with bands. But we're just having a rough time with labor shortages. The crowd we have is doing a great job. The team we have is doing a great job. But to do something that big, we just need a little bit more of a staff. We're just going to kind of keep it simple for year 40.
Sure. And I think that'll be great because, every night at Albanese's, in my experience, it's always been special, especially Fridays. I think you might have the best clam chowder. And I've been to a lot of seafood places. You've got an amazing clam chowder. What's your secret?
Oh, that's my life.
That is fantastic. So how has the restaurant business changed over the last 40 years?
My staff was pretty simple back then. Like I told you, put Adam Freeman under restaurant hospitality, and you look for two or three servers, you have 15, 20 applicants. Like I said, the team we have is doing a great job, but it's just changed over the years. And I'm still very blessed, but it's just a change in business. But we've been good. It's been 40 great years.
That sounds great. That's fantastic. So, and one thing I want to know, someone that worked in the restaurant business, I was in some amazing restaurants. I was in some amazing restaurants that closed within 20 years, maybe the trending stopped or lost its flavor. 40 years is a long time beyond the average, in an industry where there's an 80% failure rate. So what has been the Albanese family secret?
We started at 51. We Lamont Country Club, the bar, Western Rack, that's so we didn't start till it was 51 on the train. And the trend's pretty good. And back in 2010, we did a major change, made it more of a sports bar with 24 TVs, knocked down some walls, and it kind of just changed with the times. And I think we've done a pretty good job with that. The menu, we have cut that back since COVID.
Yeah.
More or less a pasta house, specialty items, pizza. So we kind of kept it simple with that. And I think we've done a pretty good job with that.
That's great. Yeah. You know, and I, regular listeners of the show probably know the story again, because then I've had Mayor Rally on before, but how does an Italian restaurant come up with a name like Roadhouse?
Again, back in 81, when my dad wanted to purchase the property into the restaurant there, and make a long story short, he had Mayor Rally's father, Bill Rally, as an attorney. And my dad went to the city 6-7 times and shut down each time. And Mr. Rally found a little loophole in the bylaws saying on that property where we're at now, you could not build a restaurant, but you could build a roadhouse. And in the Webster's Dictionary says you can, a roadhouse is in on the outskirts of town that serves food, liquor, and back then it was gambling and prostitution. obviously, we didn't have those last two, but so he went back to the committee and said, my client changes mind, he does not want to build a restaurant, he wants to build a roadhouse. And again, he had to fight City Hall a couple more months, but they said, hey, you have to let this man build. And my dad wanted to keep that Albanese's Roadhouse.
I think I remember Mayor Riley saying, too, that it was also for, it served travelers.
Yes.
Yep. So, and I think anyone who gets in a car is a traveler, right?
Absolutely.
So I love that. That's terrific. So, yeah, so great story. And, you know, when I was on City Council, I remember being voting in favor of changing that ordinance so that restaurants could be allowed.
Yep.
So, because I know for many years it was just you guys.
Correct.
And that was it. Or maybe I think maybe across the street, since it was town of Brookfield, maybe they could have a restaurant or a liquor license. So
down on Park Lawn Drive, dead end.
Yeah.
It was all field in back of us. The apartments I think came in about 86. Across the street was the electric company where Home Depot is, or Menards is, was the old SBC building. So there was, you know, a lot of people told my dad, you're crazy. My dad said, hey, just wait. That it's going to start building, and it has. Look where we're at today. It's been great.
And how old were you when you started working at the restaurant?
I just turned 18, right out of high school.
Okay, so right out of high school. So
those first couple of years, it was tough because,
sure,
you know, you're used to growing up and playing ball 5-6 nights a week.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you turn in, graduate high school, and all of a sudden you're working 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
But you learn at a very young age, you have to be there. And that's what my dad instilled in me. Got to be there. They want to see you, and that's the joy of it. They were there, their customers, family. When you come in by a fan, you know everybody, and that's the best thing of 40 years.
Yeah, and it's been amazing in the few years we've known each other, because I've only lived in Waukesha 12 years, but the number of mutual friends that we have.
Absolutely.
Kevin McLean, defensive coordinator. Johnny, do you have a sticker for our young friend? Go ahead and take that one. Yeah, there's a fresh one. Take that one, too. So yeah, we got some visitors here, a young Star Wars fan. So make sure you come to Albanese's. All right.
Future customers.
Excellent. So, you know, I was always thinking, why not have like a 1 o'clock or a 2 o'clock restaurant league for basketball or baseball, and how fun. Because I remember one of the restaurants I worked in, when we would close, and it was more, you know, there was a bar, but it was more dinner generated. So we'd be closed at 10 o'clock during the week, 11 on the weekends. But on those weeknights at 10 o'clock, when after everything was clean and shut down at midnight, young guys, you still wanted to go. So we would buy, you know, with our employee discount, a couple cases of Lone Star beer was one of their beers. And we'd go to one of the parks. This was down in Evanston, Illinois, and it was closer to the lake, so we weren't bothering any neighbors. And we'd turn on our headlights and play basketball and drink Lone Stars for like a couple hours. We just had a great time. Like, no police ever came. And so that was the life. So, you were working, you just wanted to let off some steam, and you were, you know, you were tired, but you're kind of overtired, and you still had, you know, you wanted to kind of make a night of it. Now you hire people to close it for you. I get that. So that's terrific. So we got 3 minutes for our first break, and so you said it was right out of high school you were working for the family business. So if we were to look at your resume, it would be all Albanese's Roadhouse, right?
Yes, 40 years in for that one, my dad was ran the bar country club. I worked on the grounds for 4 years, from 15 to 18.
Wow.
And the first couple of years before I got my license, my dad wanted me to work, and I got to work. So he'd get home at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning from Fremont. I had to wake him up 20 to 6 in the morning. Hey, Dad, you got to take me to the club.
Sure.
He'd drive me to the club, drop me off, go back home, sleep for a while, come get me after lunch hours, 2 o'clock, take me back home and go back to the club. So it was harder on him than it was on me, I think.
Yeah.
And I think when I got my license, he was probably happier than I was, just so he didn't have to get up in the morning and take me to work all the time.
That's terrific.
But he's still in both Lori and I, my sister, work ethic and
It was the two of you then.
Yes.
Okay. So, say the only son you had no other choice but to help out with the restaurant.
Never forced it on me. I just loved it from day one. Even as a kid, going to my grandparents' place in Cube Avenue, it was just the mystique of it. You just always had a good time doing it.
Yeah.
In your blood.
That sounds great. So, you know, as we know, your father passed away in June, I believe it was
June 26th.
Yeah, and really. You know, sorry for that. And obviously that's kind of, you know, that's changed for you in terms of the day to day and everything. Cause I know even in retirement, he was a big influence.
Absolutely. The last probably 3 or 4 years, he just couldn't get around as much, but we'd get him there. But before that, he'd be there 3-4 times a day. My mom and dad live in a condo off of Davidson. So we'd come and go and help out, wash glasses, talk to people.
Love it.
And it was in his blood, and he loved being there. And
yeah.
People loved seeing that.
Sure. Sure. That was great. You know, it reminded me of one of my favorite places in Evanston. It was a Greek family, and the guy, and this was right when Evanston was a dry city till the 70s. And this guy got one of the first liquor licenses. And even in retirement, he'd come in there on Saturday mornings and he'd be behind cooking the eggs.
Yep.
So it was great to see.
And so, like you said, he was working at 10 bar. We had a
okay.
Before. He didn't care. Just everybody worked together. Let's get the job done.
Sounds great. So we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the legacy of your dad, Dominic Albanese, and Albanese's Roadhouse. So stick around. This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away. That's great. Your host, Don Brown, coming to you live from the mobile office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. And we got Calvin back in the studio at the permanent office of former Alderman Don Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios there on 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodora Humans Park, where we are proud to celebrate our suffragette heritage here in Waukesha. And Joe, when you were growing up in Waukesha, did they ever talk about Theodora Humans in school? Did they ever teach you about her? So I had no idea who she was, and I'm not from here, but in my first year at city council in September here in 2019, it was the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote. And it was a proclamation honoring Theodora Humans. She was a reporter for the Freeman, but she was also the president of the women's suffrage movement in Wisconsin. And she was the reason Wisconsin was the first state in the union to ratify the 19th Amendment. So, there's a small park there across from the rotunda that's in her honor. And I'm a big believer, a lot, as some people are, they listen to show, that we need to do more to honor that that history here in Waukesha. So good to hear. But what did you learn about growing up in Waukesha, Joe?
Your Central South. It's just a great community to grow up in. We moved out here when I was just turning 6 and Lori was 10. And there was always something going on. Like we talked about at the park, there were kids there all the time. The parents were always around at our games. It was just, again, a great area, great time to grow up in Waukesha and at Banting Park. It was fantastic.
Yeah, we were talking, too, about you'd go down to the park for some pickup baseball games, and you'd hustle through lunch to get to the park because you didn't want to miss out.
Like I said, we lived at the park, and we go down there no matter what ages we were. You know, a lot of my buddies say we were 11 and 12 and they had older brothers. 15, 16, we just split everybody up and play a game. Some of the girls would play, you know, Tina Hauk, Elisa Tomasino. And we just wanted to play. If there were only a couple guys, strikeout. I don't know if kids know what strikeout is today. We play pickle, 500, king of this court, basketball. You play 21.
Pepper in baseball, too, right?
Pepper, yeah. All the time. There was always something going on. And if we race on our bikes home, our mom would have a sandwich ready. Joey, sit down, sit down. No, Mom, they're picking teams in 20 minutes. I got to get back. And we it was where we were. And I, like I said, the trouble we got into back then was toilet paper in a house or something piddly. The cops were never involved, but it was sports, no matter what was going on at the time of the year.
So Joe grew up on Empire Street, where I live now, where we've raised our family the last 10 years. And Joe was a member of the same baseball club, one of the original members of the Blazers.
Yeah, I think it was 77. I think it was started out in 73, 74. But Mr. Gardner, quite a classic. He knew how to handle kids, teach the game properly. I remember when we made the team, first thing we were doing, sliding back into first base, teaching how to get up off base. If you went in standing up, you didn't have enough big enough lead. You know, and through the years, like I told you, Don, you know, I had my first coach was Mr. Cutts. I don't even know where he is today because they moved.
Was that Gary?
It was always Mr. I never knew his first name.
So, because there was an old coach who had lived in a cul-de-sac across the street, across from your old house, and he said you were the best catcher in the Blazers, defensively anyway.
That was Mr. Zindler. He
That's
still
it, Gary, yep.
I had Mr. Zindler, Mr. Gardner, Mr. Kenny, Coach Richter, Mr. Farner, Kenny Gardner Jr., and like I said, they all taught the game the way it should be played. And back then, these guys probably didn't get paid. Yeah. I remember Mr. Gardner's station wagon. It had more hits than the Rocky March North. Foul balls at Banting. It was dented and beat up.
I love that.
Each guy didn't care. They bang on their door. Come on, let's go to the park for extra BP. They didn't care. They just took care of it. They were great guys. And all of us in the neighborhood, even at South, you know, my buddy Stewie and all those guys, we were very, very blessed to grow up in that time and have those guys teach us the game.
I love it. I love it. Then we got 4 minutes for the next break. Calvin, how are we sounding? Sounding great. Got a thumbs up from Kelvin. So terrific. And Johnny Watermelon, who's here roaming the farmer's market, looking for some great produce and great deals. He wanted us to let us know. We have a new sponsor for our black shirt football radio broadcast. I think I'll get it out right. And that's Tundraland, who has an exhibit here at the farmer's market. So you got to come check them out. They're remodelers. They do a lot of great interior work. And a great match with our other sponsors, which include Replacement Window Center Wisconsin, which is on the same street on Dolphin Drive there. They do window siding, roofing. So, and then our third sponsor is iCombat Wisconsin. If you're into laser tag, you have to check out iCombat there over off of Sunset by the high school. So, and they're also a black shirt family. So like the Albanese's, like Joe. Did you play baseball for South in high school?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, fantastic.
Played for Prince Richter. Coach, we need some great talent on the team. Louie and David Keane, David Schilling, Jimmy Perlovich, and we were actually, I think, probably one of the first traveling teams around the area. My senior year back in 82, we were sponsored by Saz's.
Nice.
And Coach Richter and Mr. Joe Vitale knew Tim Travato worked for the Brewers. So we had their old uniforms, I think the Brewer uniforms from 1972. We were called the Waukesha Brewers. Flash walks yourself. So we
nice.
Travel, and it wasn't nothing major. Kids today would probably be like, wow, big deal. You went to lacrosse, went to Barrington, Illinois.
Nice.
Team from Dayton, Ohio came in for a doubleheader. And back then, I think we had 60-something games scheduled. Some were rained out, but back in 82, 60 games, that was a hell of a schedule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So that's neat. And were you a catcher also for some?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
I started catching first year for WPNR team, 10 years old. Coach had me put the gear on. So second year, I'm in sixth grade, and back then each elementary school had a softball team. You played like four games. There was Banting, Whittier, Randall, and I don't know who else was around, Hawthorne maybe. And Coach Richter had me play third base. I want to play third base. So the next year, fast forward to hardball, I told Mr. Cutts, I want to play third base. Joey, I give you a catch. So me and a kid that was playing third, we switched. And Don, after the first game playing third, I had a couple of shots going by me. I'm like, you know what? I talked to the kid.
you don't like catching, I don't like third, let's switch. And then the rest, I just caught all my, all my life.
That. Yeah. So yeah, it's funny. My daughter, she made a U18 as a 6-year-old. And so she was just learning the game, wasn't playing a lot. The coach knew we need to put her somewhere. So he put her a catcher. And she loved it. She's been a catcher ever since. And a really good one, too, I'm proud to say. But that's how it all began for her.
Well, you run the show.
That's what we tell you. You're the quarterback. Yeah.
The picture of that day, the unison. You ran the show. Our guys, coaches, let us play. Today I see some of it where they're doing all these signals, and I know the game has changed.
Yeah.
But just let the kids play.
Let the kids play. I love that. So, hey, we got to let some advertisers play here. So we're going to go to our halfway break. But stick around. We have a lot more to talk about here with Joe Albanese of Albanese's Roadhouse and the Banting Blazers and Waukesha South. So don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues here at the Farmers Market.
Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo.
Calvin. All right. Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha with Joe Albanese. And before we begin, just want to let you know, I will be, you're going to hear me. The next show is Morning Cannolis with James Santel. At 9, I'll be joining Jim at 9:30, and we'll be his guest. So you get to learn a little bit about Don Brown. So try to, you know, curb your excitement there. But the real story is Joe Albanese, Albanese's Roadhouse celebrating 40 years, and it is a bittersweet benchmark. You know, after the loss of your father Dominic back in June, and you know, with the restaurant and the legacy, there's also the legacy of your father. That's hard to beat.
He's still there every day. Trust me.
Yeah, you know, I can understand that. And, yeah, I think when we spoke at the bar, you know, I'd lost my father a year earlier, and same deal. He lived to be 90, 91, and actually, it was, yeah. So,
90, and talk about the bar business. Meeting all the people, the customers, the family. But besides that, the number one was working with my dad.
Yeah.
For 40 years side by side, I was very, very lucky.
I love it. So mom helped out too, right? Yeah. She wasn't at all.
When we first started, she made a lasagna, meatballs, sauce. She was Irish, and she hated Italian food.
You know, Mayor Riley did share that with me about it. Yeah.
So, Irish all the way.
Yeah.
Granted, she did a little bit for herself with butter, salt, and pepper. Wow. But she cooked it great.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah, sure. You know, and so I'm lucky. I'm a lucky guy. I have an Italian wife, and I'm Irish. But I know it's a different time. Back when your parents met, it was probably very hard for, an Irish gal and an Italian guy to date and get serious, right? Yeah. I mean, that was...
One married an Italian. The rest of her,
yeah. Wow.
Everyone was Polish, my aunt was Norwegian, my aunt
sure.
was German. Yeah.
So that's great, though. And that's been, you know, because that was Mayor Riley had his party there to celebrate his win. And I said, that's very inclusive of you, an Irish guy having an Italian restaurant, you know, remembering those old rivalries and those old grudges. And he and Mayor Riley is, you know, very matter of fact. So, well, actually, Joe's half Irish.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't know that. So that was sure. Yeah.
I was too.
So, because that's like my wife is Italian and Croatian on her father's side. But growing up, her dad always said, if people ask, you're Italian, and that's it. And I think back then, too, when people thought Croatian, they thought Eastern European and they thought communist. It was a Cold War, and that was a big deal. You don't want to be associated with that. And so it's interesting. I mean, of course, now, you know, they're very, you know, proud and they, she gives the full gamut, you know. So, but back to Albanese is another wrinkle in addition to the great food. And the lasagna is still on the menu, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. You still have the bocce ball.
It's our 26th year on Monday.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. Sure, sure. That's fantastic. Sorry, give me a second here. I think we're having some...
Can't hear you.
Yeah, here. Can you handle that, Johnny? Sorry about that. So keep doing your thing, Joe, or maybe put the mic in the set there and just keep it still and talk into it. Again, my apologies. I knew we were going to have this much difficulty. We would have just had it back at the studio. So how's that? Go say something, Joe.
Better?
Can you hear Joe now, Calvin? Yes, we got a thumbs up. All right. So it's just like we're calling the game, Joe. You got the color, and we're right here on the field. And so we're talking about bocce ball. I looked on your website, and you said you still have over 90 teams.
Obviously, we dropped down to maybe 70. We're back up to 90, and it's popping down in the summer. It's huge for us, and people enjoy it. It's something that started out, like I said, 26, 27 years ago with 12 teams on a Monday, and later on down the road, we expanded Wednesday and Thursday.
Wow, that's amazing. And what surprised me was that you have winter leagues.
Yes, I think about 6-7 teams that could be the winner, but on a Wednesday in January,
well, February,
what's going on? So people enjoy that. We shovel the courts.
Wow, they play outside.
Oh, absolutely. And we have a winter tournament the week after Super Bowl.
Wow.
About 80, 90 people out there on a Sunday playing bocce.
And so do you have like some hot drinks there that you offer the guests?
Oh, they drink a day like that. They're necking up whatever.
That's fantastic. That's like kind of like the polar plunge, right?
Yeah, yeah, so. Same thing.
Wow, that's fantastic.
A couple years ago, I know when we started our into the league, we had about 8 teams compete, and the first night we played was 50 grade below.
Wow.
Everybody showed. Everybody was bundled up.
That's funny.
There was nobody on the street. Nobody. It was, wow. Everybody's at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next day, a guy came in. He had to go to Menards for something. He goes, what the hell were you guys doing out last night? But the other planets.
Yeah. And there's probably like 2 people inside, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if we had 2.
Yeah. That's hilarious. That's kind of, those folks are from like, if you ever watch Game of Thrones, they're from the North Country or from the Northlands. Yeah.
Everybody, I love it. Loves their hunting gear, mask. Hey, Joey, how's it going? I have no idea who you are. You're taking your mask off.
You know, Joe, they sound like they could be my hometown Buffalo Bills fans, you know, braving those elements. So, yep. Now, I'm not the only one here that has a favorite team from New York State. Joe, what's your favorite baseball team in addition to the Brewers?
The catchers are like bench the disc and those guys.
Yeah.
77, you know, you're watching the Reds hit the field.
Sure. Well, now the Brewers are in the National League. You're allowed to have, you know, an American League team. So that, you know, they're no longer in the AL East.
Exactly.
The Brewers. So that works. Yeah. They finished like 3rd or 4th. Yeah. Yeah. Sure was. So, but now, see, that's what I tell people is that I was a Packers fan even when I was growing up in Western New York in the 70s because a lot of those legends. Jim Ringo, Elijah Pitts, they went on to coach in Buffalo.
Coaching at Buffalo, right?
Yeah, and so I had some brothers who played with their kids. And, you know, in the old NFL films, it was always, you know, the Great Teams, Great Years series. There was a huge, a lot of coverage about the Packers. So you had to appreciate that tradition. And Buffalo being a smaller market, you know, many ways were like the Packers in the AFC.
In the 70s, my first recollection was probably 71, so 6-7. Besides 72, those were some rough years growing up as a Packer fan.
It sure was, yeah.
4-10, 5-9, you know.
I knew some people in our age group that grew up in that area, you know, in the Fox Valley and up there in Green Bay area, and a lot of them were 49ers fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the time, you know, that the Packers had some lean years. They had to play half their games at County in Milwaukee to sell some tickets. And so,
going to County Stadium for a game, man, you were sitting behind a pillar. There wasn't very many good seats, trust
sure.
me.
And I heard both teams were on the same size like soccer, yeah. So that used to drive me crazy. I always thought that was – heresy. So, but the Packers persisted, a publicly owned team, and you got to appreciate that tradition. So for me, I get to have a team in both conferences. And I got a little nervous last couple seasons ago. Like, you think the dream is to have your 2 favorite teams in the Super Bowl, but it's really not.
No.
And so, yeah. So, and I have Packer fans in my house, but some of them also adopted the Bills as their AFC team. So
yeah, the Bills, when we were growing up,
Yeah, their moments.
72, 73 had a couple of good years, but other than that, it was kind of like the backwards.
You know, and really OJ was the attraction, and once him. Once Joe he Robinson, left, Fergie, yep. So
over on the line,
Jody from Michigan State. Well, but going back to you, you're telling me a story about how you first got involved with the Blazers, and it's a great about your mailman. Let's hear this.
I was a kid, and I knew of the Blazers because a lot of my buddies, their older brothers, played on the Blazers. I remember one day I was just throwing the tennis ball up against a garage, and our mailman, Mr. Lexer, great guy. He was just in for dinner, I think about 2 weeks ago. Joey, how you doing? Hey, Mr. Lexer, and he rattles off 1938 Empire Drive. He still remember our address and everything. And he goes, you got to try out for the Blazers. And like I said, I knew of him, so we tried out. And Mr. Lex's brother-in-law was Mr. Gardner, the coach.
Ken Gardner.
So it's just a small world, and that's how I got to know Mr. Gardner. And I played for Kenny Sr. in the Brooks League. And like I said, they still come on the restaurant. For my dad's funeral, I know Mr. Gardner, Mr. Farner, Mr. Zindler, they all showed up. So it's many years, and it's still been just a great relationship. And my dad gives those guys full credit. He said, these guys raised my son in the summer. I was with them all the time. You know, piling the car, going to Nevin's Field. Now I don't even know, there's probably not a field back there, but.
Where was that? Was that Waukesha?
By the complex across, by the cheese company.
Okay.
It was in back of there.
Sure.
And it was this little small field there. You had your fence out there. The backstop was great for catcher. It was probably 2 feet behind the catcher, so it made you look good. Yeah. And that was the first year playing there. And then we're playing in the City League with the Park and Rec. Mr. McKinney was our coach.
Okay.
And that was 13 to 15 years old.
Wow.
And when he got to play at Frame Park for the first time, that was, talk about state of the art. And then when he looked at the schedule and you were playing underneath the lights, oh man, that was it.
That's neat.
Then we first got our uniform. Now, when we played for Park and Rec when we were a kid, you got a t-shirt and you just played in your jeans. But when you played for the Blazers and then on, you got that first time you got the uniform, oh, you were in heaven.
I love that. Yeah, last week we had Don Radomski on. He's the varsity baseball coach. And we were talking about favorite baseball movies. What's yours?
Oh my God. So many of them. You gotta obviously feel the dreams up there. But as a kid, with Walter Matthau, Bad News Bears.
Yep.
That was a classic. I remember my mom taking me and my cousin in bed. And she thought it was just going to be a cute movie for kids. But, you know, some of the language in it wasn't the best.
Yeah.
There's so many of them out there. And when they're on, I'm constantly watching baseball. I just watched Major League again. Christina's like, oh, my God.
She
watches the games. All those old movies that I've seen hundreds of times.
And, you know, Don Radomski mentioned one of his favorites was Mr. 3000 because he was an extra in that movie.
Really?
Yeah, and then my wife reminded me, Pascual Rodriguez, the executive principal at La Casa, who was a guest on my show last spring, he was an extra in that movie, too. You know, he had a short-lived major league career, or a pro baseball career that ended because of a knee injury. We got to get him in the restaurant. You guys would get along really well. And so that was heartbreaking, but he reinvented himself as an educator, but, you know, baseball's still very much a part of his life. His new book coming out. Has a lot of baseball metaphors. It's arranged in 9 chapters that he calls innings. So I'll make sure that you meet Pascual. Yeah, and
but extras in the movie Major League, good friend of mine, Nino Mach was
extra. Okay.
When I watched it, there's Nino.
And love it.
He said it was fun doing it.
Sounds great. So Calvin's telling me we got 1 minute before the break. So when we come back, actually, I'm going to read a quote to you. I think I have time here from one of my favorite baseball movies. And he says, I still get such a bang out of it playing ball, same as I did when I first come up. You get out there and stands are full and everybody's cheering. It's like everybody in the world come to see you. Inside of that, there's the players yakking it up. The pitcher throws and you look at the pill. Suddenly, there's nothing else in the park but you and it. Sometimes when you're feeling right, there's a groove there and the bat just eases into it and meets the ball. When the bat meets the ball and you can just feel that ball give and you know it's going to go a long way. Damn if you don't feel like you're going to live forever. You couldn't give that up. Not for nothing. Let's go to a break, Calvin. This Week in Waukesha continues with Joe Albanese. He's going to try to guess what movie that's from.
You guys are really got it going on.
Yeah. Like I said, comfortable baseball and restaurant.
Yeah, we'll talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Don tries to deviate, talks about it.
right, we're back. This week of Waukesha continues with our guest, Joe Albanese. And big shout out to Johnny Watermelon, who puts this together for us at the Farmer's Market every Saturday. Johnny's also our advertising sales manager, and he's got some great packages for any local businesses looking to get some great exposure and then show their support for the Waukesha community. So be sure to look up Johnny. And Johnny also helps with the color on the Waukesha football radio broadcast. So, but we're back here at Joe Albanese, and I gave Joe what I think is a hard question. It's from one of my favorite baseball movies, and it was just a line that for me really embodied the love for the game.
I love it.
So it was Eight Men Out, and it was John Cusack playing Buck Weaver during the trial. A little background was about the White Sox. Yeah, that threw the World Series, and Buck Weaver was a guy that. He knew about the confidence game, but he did not participate, did not take any money. He had his batting average might have been higher than Joe Jackson's in that series, but he didn't. The fact that he knew about it didn't come forward, and that's what cost him his career. He was banned from baseball, was never let back in. His descendants are still trying to get him reinstated in baseball posthumously because of the love that he had for the game. And
it's great moves, great young stars, man.
A lot of tragedy, but it also, it pulls at the heartstrings in terms of, for those that love baseball, why that was special. We mentioned, Joe mentioned The Natural, and that was filmed in my hometown in Buffalo. And so there's a lot of special movies, memories around that movie. We had some people that were extras in that movie, like the psychiatrist on one scene was a good friend of my mom and dad's. Losing is a disease. And but what's not losing here in Waukesha is Albanese's Roadhouse. 40 years this September. Great. You mentioned you still have the lasagna. Are there any signatures from the original menu or from the early years that you can never take off because they're Albanese?
You can't mess with that. Our sauce, with the time-limited recipe, we continue to do that. Our meatballs, homemade, same recipe, lasagna, the spaghetti. Everything is homemade. All our sauces are homemade. Our vodka sauce, clam sauce, burrito sauce.
I've had that vodka sauce. It's awesome. All the sauces are great. Yeah.
Even somebody asked me one time, did you ever try your grandmother's recipe? Like, come on,
why?
Maybe she would come from the heavens and give them a look to find out about it. And we get a lot of compliments on it. It's, like I said, it's been a great 40.
That's fantastic. So, what are the plans for the next 40 years for all
my guys? I'm only 58, so I got quite a few years to go. It's been a great run, continue to hopefully be a great run. Like I said, our team is doing a great job. And keep on pounding away. That's all you can do. It's like I said, it's been tough getting some extra staff, but we're there every day.
And that's a trend throughout the industry. Exactly. Through a lot of small businesses. Yeah.
Oscar, whatever business you're in. Like I said, it's been good. We'll continue to be there. And we get such a great response from a lot of my friends since COVID. They've been there every Friday for me. You know, I got guys like Stewie and Keith and Mark and Rick. Steve and those guys are there every Friday for me. Last night we had five of my friends there. Brian Fish bagging up to go orders, watching the door. I couldn't do it without them.
I know your restaurant's closed on Sunday and Monday, but do you give yourself any time off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, one of those days we usually go in and try to just catch up on paperwork and cleaning, whatever the case may be. And now being closed 2 days, I always try to have that Sunday where the family gets together and just, I don't care if we're just working outside or going for a walk or watching a game. And it's family day. It's very important. That's one thing that you miss in this business. But my dad was always there. He worked a lot, but he didn't miss any of my games, any school functions. He maybe had to leave in the seventh inning and get back to the club, but he was always there. And when I was done, I ran home. The first phone call I did was to my dad at the club, tell him how we did. And that's, I remember the first game I played and told my parents, don't come. You're just so nervous. But after that first time, when you were warming up, you looked for your parents to be there. And that was so special.
That's fantastic. What are some more like special memories of your mother and father growing up that you'd like to share?
God, there are so many holidays. Every day. Our mom was all American mom. She was actually cooking and baking. Again, like I said, he worked so hard, but always there for a hug and a kiss and just tell you how proud he was of you. It's very special.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. That means a lot. And it, you know, and I know there are tons of Albanese's customers that also have some really great memories of your mom and dad. And you know, what a remarkable legacy that continues to live. And people feel it every time you go in the restaurant. You know, I think I only met your dad once, but I could just, you just knew the love was there. And to live in the restaurant too, the pictures on the wall, the menu development, the caring staff. That is,
he loved it so much. That was his family. Again, we came first, but the business was second. And he worked hard at it. He loved it. He loved talking to people, learning about their family, their kids. And that's nothing too where you, 40 years, a long time. But I remember some people just had a child. And now all of a sudden that child's 39, 40 years
old. Yeah.
They've had their prom dances, their wedding receptions by us, rehearsals. And now we see their kids that are 10, 12, 15 years old. So that's the special part where you just see generations coming back.
Yeah, that is neat. So, and then did your dad ever get out in the diamond with you, throw the ball around?
Yeah, he did.
He played some ball in his younger days?
In his younger days, he did.
Love it.
Backyard, in front of the house, he'd always play catch. He'd be throwing to me, you know, get down in the catcher position. I'd borrow the chest protector from the team. I'd bring it home, and he'd throw, you know, the balls in the dirt, drop down, block them.
Yeah.
He'd, you know, he'd try to work with me as much as he could, but like I said, they were there all the time.
Sure. So, you know, we should commit to, Joe, if we can, is sometime next summer, like maybe on a Monday when the restaurant's closed, or Sunday, is have a little pickup game at Banting Park. Get all those old friends, like you mentioned.
You know, in that neighborhood, we had some. There was some talent.
They're just making softball, slow pitch softball.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, and just
catch. I don't know if I can get down to the position.
Yeah, sure.
But you talk about the talent, you had, especially me.
Yeah.
You had the teams, names, Paulie Camacho.
Great names.
McKinney, Chilling. God, there was some talent there. From, like I said, Little League, all the way through Brooks and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And great guys.
You mentioned one guy made it. Was there one guy made it to the pros? He was connected to the mailman.
Oh yeah, Joey Randa was his stepson. Nice. And when I played for Mr. Gardner in Raindrop, so we were 11.
Okay.
He was 50. Joey's probably 53, so he was just a little kid. He'd come to the games, and lo and behold, I think he went to Oconomowoc, and then he played for the Royals. Reds. He had a nice little career.
What position was he?
I think he played third base.
Nice. Last corner.
Yeah, matter of fact, from the Blazers, Kurt Larson. He ended up playing for the Packers.
Michigan State. I was there when he was there. Rose Bowl champs. Linebacker. Yeah.
Mike Hintz. He was on the strike of the Bear team. He had a great Whitewater, a great career there.
Wow.
So there were some talent and some great athletes.
Sounds great. So, hey, we got 1 minute left, and I know we had some technical issues, so we definitely plan on having Joe back in the show, especially when we're back in the studio. But, Joe, any final comments? Any anything going on at the I know we talked about the anniversary, but what would you like to share with the folks?
Thank you, everybody, for 40 great years. Can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. Everybody that's been there, for family through thick and thin. And like I said, it's been fantastic. So, again, thank you from our family.
That's great. Same here. Thank you. Joe Albanese, Albanese's Roadhouse, celebrating 40 years. Make sure you get over there. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Morning Cannolis is on next with Jim Santel, and I'll be on about 9:30. So stick around on Walk Radio. And again, have a great Labor Day weekend. And remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Bye for now. Thank you, Calvin, in the studio. And see ya. Adesso si rivivrò con te.